O Lord, our God, we thank you that this morning the gate of salvation is wide open and you are inviting every one of us to come in. No matter what is our spiritual condition, no matter how much we have turned away from you and sinned against your holiness, today the blood of Jesus is available to wash away all our sins. Today is the gate that we have through which we can go into your kingdom. Help us, O God. Bless us and stop our ears that we may hear. That we may hear the word of salvation and be saved by faith in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, as has been done for a number of weeks, we're going to ask our children to help us. So Stephen, our elder, will come to distribute the clipboard to our children. Remember, to Simon and Kaylee as well. And children, you are asked to help me by answering some questions, by drawing some pictures that arise from the sermons. And for the rest of you, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the children as well, of course. You pick up your newsletter, turn to the inside page. Hebrews chapter 11. We shall be looking at verses 23 to 29. Let me just read some of these verses to you. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ with the riches and the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. I guess all of you know that next Sunday is Mother's Day. And I think you children, when you go back to school this week, your teachers are going to teach you to do some cards, handicraft as presents to your mother. So we are going to prepare a little present for the mothers here. We're going to look at Moses' mother. Now let me ask you a simple question. Who is Moses' mother? What is her name? I won't blame you if you do not know the answer. Not at all. And even if there are candidates for the ministry going to presbytery, being examined by presbytery, if they were asked this question, tell us the name of Moses' mother, and if a young man cannot answer correctly, we won't fail him. Because Moses' mother's name is so obscure. It's a difficult name, even to pronounce. I'll try to pronounce it. It's Jochebed. Jochebed. Perhaps I remember years ago, there were a couple from Brazil visiting our church and asked their name. And the husband says, well, my wife's name is Moses' mother's name. I was embarrassed. I say, what is that? What's that? And she said, Jochebed. Moses is a very important figure in the Bible, but his mother's name is so little known. And that's not unusual, is it? Because so much of mother's work is unknown, unsung, unpraised. I don't know the girls here this morning whether they'll be aspiring to be a mother. You may be in university, and you may be studying some courses, and what do you hope to be? Would you be saying, I wish to be a mother, bringing up children? In the year 2001, I attended a graduation service of a high school, and I remember some of the girls in the yearbook were saying, I want to be a mother with 4 children, a dog and 2 cats. I was so pleased that there were such girls in the year 2001. That's mother's job. Hard work, 24/7. You don't get paid, you don't get praise. You may get a box of chocolate on Mother's Day, if you're lucky, so to say. Or flowers, if your children remember. And this morning, we're going to look at Moses' mother. And friends, she was an extraordinary mother. Moses' mother was a woman of faith. She had faith to bear children in a very difficult time, because she lived in a time in Egypt when the king of Egypt, her title was Pharaoh, told the people of Israel, every son among your people that is born, throw the child into the river, get him dry. All the daughters you are allowed to keep. What is that? What's the term for that sort of thing? Children, do you know? For that sort of crime, we call it genocide. Generation. Side, C-I-D-E, kill. Kill a whole generation. I don't know whether that was the first time of genocide in human history. But Pharaoh decided, these people of Israel are getting too numerous, and we are going to destroy these people. Keep their girls and women, absorb them into our nation, but kill all the boys. Do you think that was a good time to bear children? What if the child you are bearing was a boy? It certainly wasn't a good time to bear children. But Moses' mother decided to have children in such a time. There are many people who say, this is now a good time to bear children. I remember as a young theological student, I visited an older maiden, elderly lady in the congregation, a Christian lady, a godly lady, and she said, oh, I don't want to bring up children in this time. I thought, that's very encouraging to a young theological student who just have a young child. She said, the time was so bad. That was 40 years ago. It's gotten much worse in the meanwhile. And there are many who are saying something like this. It's such a challenging time to bring up children. I heard parents or couples or young couples in other countries, they're saying, we are not going to have children. It's getting too expensive, too demanding, too stressful to have children. And they may be saying the truth. It's not so much in Australia, in other countries, it's really, really expensive to bring up children. And the educational system is so competitive, and parents will be stressed out. Why have children? Why not have fun? Have overseas travels? Moses' mother decided to have children under such circumstances. And she had faith enough to give birth in such a time. Just imagine you were Moses' mother and you had a child, you were bearing a child, and during that night, 9 months or so, would you be not thinking, well, should I not have an abortion? Why give birth to this child, who may be a boy, and then have to kill that boy? Why not have an abortion and not take the chance? But she had faith to give birth, to have faith to wait. Maybe she was thinking, well, perhaps Pharaoh will change his mind by the time I give birth. Perhaps this child is not a boy, but a girl after all. She had faith to give birth. And after she gave birth, the midwife told her, it's a boy. What? It's a boy. Oh dear. It's a boy. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. We are told by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. When Moses was born, his mother and father could see, this child is just so beautiful. Every newborn child is so precious. But they could see this child, Moses, is more than ordinary. They had at least 2 children already. They knew. And the previous 2 children would be very bright already. But when they saw this child, this newborn child, they said, this child, this boy, is extraordinary. We are going to believe that God will keep this child. We are not going to throw this child into the river Nile. Oh, Moses' mother and father had faith. And they hid the boys 3 months. But Moses was getting bigger. He was crying louder. It would become more and more difficult to hide Moses. They might be thinking, well, let's dress him up as a girl. They'll get by. But of course, the Egyptian inspectors would make sure that the child was a girl and not a boy. But they have faith in God. They believed. And what happened? Because they believed, they were not afraid of the king's command. My dear friends, this is what faith does to us. If we believe God, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we will not be afraid. The reason why we are afraid is because of our lack of faith. They were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not going to kill the child. But then 3 months passed. Moses was getting bigger and bigger and crying louder and louder, and the time had come. They must do something. either keep on disobeying the king's edict and got the whole family killed, or what? Find a way out. And what did they do? In Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, we are told, when Moses' mother could no longer hide Moses, she made a waterproof box. That's the meaning of that word, a box. Make it waterproof. And then she put the child in that waterproof basket, a box, and then took her carefully, gingerly, prayerfully place him among the weeds by the riverbank. Moses' mother had faith to prepare for Moses' survival. She did not take up Moses and chuck him to the river Nile. She made that waterproof box for Moses to stay there, to survive. And then, before she do that, Moses' mother was clever. Undoubtedly, she knew the river Nile quite well. And she knew where the king's daughters would hang out and enjoy their swim. So she took her to that place and placed her there and asked Moses' elder sister Miriam, "You stay here and you watch what will happen to your brother." Moses' mother could not stay there, it was too dangerous. But Moses' elder sister Miriam was there. How old was Miriam? Maybe 5, maybe 6. She couldn't be too old. She couldn't be a grown-up woman. She was only a child. And Moses' mother entrusted everything to the elder sister Miriam. Now, without faith, Moses' mother would not do any of these things. But by faith, she was expecting that Moses would somehow survive. How? She did not know. And undoubtedly, when she did all that, she would be doing this in tears and with prayer. She would be making that waterproof basket with tears swimming down her eyes and praying to God constantly, "Lord, save my child. Lord, lead. Lord, guide this matter." Maybe she was hoping, well, perhaps the king's daughters will come out and have compassion on this child and take the child home and bring him up as a slave in the Egyptian court. Well, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 4, we are told his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And then what? Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. Well, here came one of Pharaoh's daughters. She came here to have a swim. And her servant's girl, a slave girl, were walking, guarding the riverside. It was a princess who was bathing or swimming there. And then she noticed a little box. What's that? Now, it couldn't be a bomb because there was no bomb in those days. But what was that? She got curious. So she sent one of her girls to get the box. And what happened? Look at verse 6. This is so interesting. When the princess opened the box, she saw the child. Behold, the child wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Isn't that remarkable? This is called God's providence, God's arrangement of things. Well, she took up the box, she opened the box. Wow, it's a baby! 3 months old baby. And the baby started to cry like mad. It was a tiny cry. If Moses had cried the right time, that was the time. And she cried so pitifully that the princess had compassion on him. And that's truly remarkable. God worked in the heart of this princess and moved her to have compassion upon this child of the Hebrews. Now understand, there was ethnic tensions in those days. The Egyptians saw the Israelites as their slave. They saw them as their threat. And when there was ethnic tension, people had no pity. We were told in the Second World War, when the Japanese and Americans were fighting so hard against each other in the Pacific Ocean, when there were some American pilots got shot down, their plane got shot down, and they were in the waters, the Japanese would machine gun them and kill them off. How cruel that was. How cruel. But the Americans did the same to the Japanese. The American bombed Tokyo. One night, 100,000 people died. The Japanese hated the Americans. The Americans hated the Japanese. But at this point of time, this Egyptian princess, well-to-do girl, was moved with compassion for this child. Now Miriam was standing by, and this was a brave girl. She was a brave girl. This was the moment. What should she do? This is the princess, she picked up my brother Moses. What should I do? Now she was a girl of courage. She went up and said, "Oh, royal princess, should I get you a wet nurse for this baby?" What wisdom! What courage! Instead of running away to tell mother, "Well, our brother is now picked up by a princess," she stayed on, she observed, she could see that this princess had pity on her brother, and she just got this amazing wisdom to ask this daring question: "Should I get a nurse for you from the Hebrew women to nurse this baby?" And the princess says, "Yes. Go and get such a nurse." And what happened? The princess told Moses' mother, "You take this baby home, and I'm going to pay you for nursing this child." So Moses' mother got Moses back safely, and now she's paid to nurse her own child. How about that, mothers here? You gave birth to a child, you nursed your baby, you got paid. It's a full-time job, you got paid to nurse your child. And then when the child grew up, he was brought back to court, and Moses was given the best education in the world. In those days, free. Free. Isn't that amazing? Egypt in those days was the most advanced country in the world. Just think of the pyramid they built. Up to this day, we can't work out how the ancient Egyptians could build those pyramids. What engineering feat? What understanding of geometry? How could they line up the pyramid so well? How could they move the stones up to the top? What happened then? We still don't know. So Moses was given the best education in the world. How much does it cost to bring up a child in our time? In Australia, we are blessed. Education is free. You go to university where you can get loan. It's not too expensive. But in some other countries, it's really, really expensive. If you're going to give your child a good education, well over, listen to this, maybe over $1 million to give a child a good education. But all that was given to Moses free as he grew up in court. So, first of all, we notice Moses' mother was a woman of faith. Now, secondly, we move on. Moses' mother passed on the faith to Moses. Moses' mother would have only a few years to bring up Moses, to nurse him, to care for him. But undoubtedly, Moses was a very gifted child. There are some children who can read their Bibles at the age of 4. Some of our hymn writers, those lady hymn writers, some of them memorized the whole of the New Testament and the Minor Prophets. Spurgeon could memorize so many hymns at a very young age. And Moses got a few years to teach Moses. And she managed to pass on the faith to Moses. Now, by the faith, I mean the faith in terms of his teaching, his doctrines, the objective contents of the biblical faith. Moses' mother was able to teach, to pass on to Moses. Now, that is in contrast to the subjective act of having faith in God. You see the difference? There is the Bible, its teachings, this is the faith, the objective faith, the doctrines. And then we have to believe the objective faith, by our own believing in it, by believing in God. And Moses' mother was able to pass on the faith to Moses. Now, what would Moses' mother teach Moses? What would be some of the doctrines that Moses' mother would be teaching him? Now, you may say, well, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Really? Think twice. Who wrote Genesis? Who wrote Genesis? No one knows? Children? Sunday school teachers? No, everyone is so shy. I'm sure you know. It was Moses who wrote Genesis, right? And where did Moses first heard all the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph? From whom? His mother, right? Now, it's not too much to imagine that when Moses was 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, Moses' mother would be telling him, my dear child, you know, there's only one and true living God. He made all things in 6 days by the word of his power. There are not many idols, gods. There's only one God, the creator God. Remember Moses? There's only one God. One God. And Moses' mother will be teaching Moses the number. Say after me, my dear child, 2 years old. One. What does one stand for? One God. One creator. But my dear child, let me tell you, God made us male and female. You are a boy, your sister Miriam is a girl, but mankind rebelled against God. They were placed in a garden, but they decided to rebel against God, and there came the trouble. Let me tell you, dear boy, later on, people got so violent, they killed each other, they slaughtered each other, and the world became so bad, so terrible, that God decided to destroy all the earth by a flood. Not a flood, years ago. And then, my dear child, our ancestor, by the name of Abraham, remember this name, Moses? Abraham, say after me, Abraham. He lived in the land that is far, far away in the east, between the two rivers, Euphrates and Tigris, in that land. Oh, that was our father Abraham. He was worshipping the moon god, the sun god, all the other gods. And God called him, the one God called him. And God made a promise to him. God made a covenant with him. God saying to our father Abraham, through him and his seed, all the nations in the world will be blessed. And Moses said, really? Of course, it's true. It is true. Mother, you mean that God is going to bless all the nations through people like you? Slave people? Yes! We are the chosen people of God. God is going to bless the whole world through us, people of Israel. You must believe that. And mother told, son, Moses, and after Abraham, God raised up Isaac, his son. And Abraham, our father, got his son, Isaac, at the age of 100. Now, dear child, I'll teach you the count. One, what's one? One God. Two, three, four, 100. Abraham got his son at the age of 100. So do you know how to count now? One God, 100 is the age when Father Abraham had his son Isaac. And then God commanded Abraham to go to Mount Moriah to offer up his son Isaac. But at the last minute, God provided a lamb, a ram, to take his place. And my dear son, that must mean something. I don't know what it means, but it must mean something. And then after Isaac, there was Jacob. And Jacob got 12 sons. 10 of them were very bad, terrible, including our father Levi. He was a very violent man. He killed so many people. And these 10 sons of Jacob, he got jealous with Joseph, and they sold him to Egypt as a slave, and that's why we are here, my dear son. We are here slaves. Joseph once was the prime minister in Egypt, but now what he has done has been forgotten. So, my dear friends, our second point is that Moses' mother passed on the faith to Abraham. The book of Genesis, the teaching about creation, the fall, the flood, the covenant, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, up until that time. Moses knew that. Now the third major heading. Moses' mother taught Moses to be faithful. She didn't just tell Moses these stories. There's one thing to know the content of the faith. You know the gospel. But do you believe it, my dear friends? You heard of Jesus Christ, but is it your Lord and Savior? There's a big difference in between knowing something about God and trusting God and believing in Him. And Moses' mother did not just say to Moses, I'll tell you nice stories, Bible stories, but Moses, my dear child, you must believe God. You must be faithful. You must not be like one of these princes in the court. I'll tell you something about Joseph, our ancestor. He was sold as a slave, and his master's wife was seducing him to commit adultery day after day, and Joseph rejected that evil woman's suggestion. And he got into prison. And my dear son Moses, you go back to court, and there were these royal princes. They were men who are strong, who got a lot of education, and they got a lot of women. You must not be like that, my dear son. Be faithful to the Lord. You must not be like them, drinking too much wine and abusing women. Moses' mother would urge him only for a few years. But her faith and faithfulness was richly rewarded. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses grew up in the court. He was given the best education in the world, and he knew all those drinking parties, all those using women as toys. And he decided, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to follow this. I will be among God's own chosen and slave people. Even though I should become poor, I'm going to follow God, the Holy One. I'm going to reject the passing pleasures of sin. I've seen my fellow princes getting drunk, having fun, abusing women. I'm not going to do that. Moses chose to forsake the passing pleasures of sin. My dear friends, young and old, sin has pleasures. Oh, if sin has no pleasure, no one will sin. But my dear friend, let me tell you, the pleasures of sin only last for a while. It will not last long. We are told there's a new drug epidemic in America, of all places. I won't tell you the name, but this new drug is to extend the pleasures of other illicit drugs. You take drugs, you got a high, you enjoy yourself, you go mad for a while, you won't last. And this new drug is to extend that pleasures of other illicit drugs for a longer time, for a bit longer. And they say this is going to be worse than all other drugs epidemics. They are passing pleasures of sin. But Moses rejected. What did he choose? In verse 26, Hebrews chapter 11. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses was not silly. He was a clever boy. He could see all the fun and the pleasures and the riches in the court. He could see the suffering of God's people in the slum. But when he grew up, he said, I'm going to choose that. I'm going to identify myself with God's people. The whole world is going to be blessed through us, through the promises. I'm going to look for the coming Savior. Suffer as I may. I want to say this to you, young people and children. It's becoming increasingly unpopular to be a biblical Christian in our culture. You want to muck around and pass as a mere professing Christians, fine. You follow the world, fine. You follow His way, fine. But if you are going to hold fast to the Bible, to the Bible's teaching, to the gospel, to the biblical standard of living, you are going to be increasingly unpopular. Not just unpopular. You'll be persecuted. People will mock you. When you go to work, people will laugh at you. You'll get into difficulty. And parents here this morning, mothers here, I want to ask you, what do you desire for your children and your children's children above all? What do you really want your children to become? And you young people, what do you want to become? What do you want to do in your life? To have a good education? To marry well? To have a fair bit of money? To be healthy? Wealthy? Is that all? Or do you want your children to serve God and honor Him? You young people, are you saying, I'm going to serve God whatever I do. I'm going to honor God even though I have to stand out. We move on very quickly to verse 27 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, Moses forsook all Egypt. He did not fear the king. And by faith, he dared to face opposition and persecution. And Moses was not just for a while, but he endured in his faith. And by faith, he saw the invisible God. People ask us, where is God? We can't see Him. Where is God? By faith, we see the living and true God. By faith, we see God's creation as God's creation. By faith, we know that God is real. And verse 28, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroy the firstborn should touch them. Do you still remember? Some time ago, I think it's the first week in April, we have communion and we look at the Passover. And that Passover lamb, what is that about? Is it not pointing forward to Christ? The Passover lamb slain, bloodshed, blood smeared on the door. What is that? But the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses by faith kept the Passover, and we by faith believe that Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. We by faith believe that the redeeming blood of Christ will set us free and cleanse. Do you believe that? Do you believe the ultimate Passover Lamb of God? One more thing, we shall finish. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Led by Moses, the people of Israel by faith went down the Red Sea, came through that unscathed, and they were saved. My dear friends, our own Red Sea is our suffering, our mocking, our persecution. Whatever that may be, eventually, my friends, our Red Sea is death itself. We shall all die one day. But there's a big difference between dying in faith and dying as a worldling. By faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall pass through our own Red Sea in due time, trusting in the shed blood of Christ. But for the worldling, for the unbelievers when they pass through the Red Sea, they shall be dry. There's no doubt whatsoever. You ask the well, one whose only hope is in the well, in the partying, or maybe the good things like family, riches, whatever that may be. If all your hopes are in those things, my dear friend, when death comes, it will drown out all these things. You have nothing whatsoever. If your hope is pinned on the things in this world, maybe it's your education, your marriage, your relationship, whatever that may be, you go through the rest of death, it's all true. But by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, go down the Red Sea of our own death, that we may fear, that we may trust, we shall come out on the other side, dry, and into the promised land. And my dear friends, this morning, we have noticed it was Moses' mother who taught him all these things. If Moses' mother was afraid to tell his own child these are the things, Moses won't be Moses. There would not be a Moses. If Moses' mother was a wealthy woman, and if she should tell Moses, my dear child, higher identity, why bother to identify yourself with us? We have no future. We are slave people. We've got nothing. You go to be a prince. You enjoy life. There will be no Moses. And my challenge to all of us parents is to dare to bring about children like Moses' mother. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we bow before you. We thank you that you have given many unsung heroes of faith in days gone by, women and men who did believe in you, who were faithful, though we do not know them, though we do not even know what they have done, how they endured, but they did. And this morning we are reminded of a woman of faith and what she did. Oh God, help us to follow that faith of Moses' mother. Though we may not be Moses, but may we be like his mother. In Jesus' name.